B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Third hour of Felger and Maz. Mike is out today. Jim Murray's alongside Adam Jones here as well to give us headlines. We've covered a lot of ground here in the first couple hours of the show. Home run derby, certainly. Shohei Ohtani, Stephen A's comments, Stephen A. Smith of ESPN. Jason Tatum's comment to Gary, comments to Gary Washburn, who joined us last hour, as well as the failures of Team USA, who Jones just keeps on dumping on, deservedly so, a Team USA basketball team. We're going to get to some football this hour on the Patriots and a interesting story in ESPN about quarterback rankings in the league, according to scouts, executives, coaches, and players. Be interesting to see where some people are ranked, if you know who I mean by some people. And we'll get to the Red Sox, too. I haven't had a chance to catch up on the Red Sox from last week over the weekend, how they finished the first half. So we'll do that during the course of the hour as well. But I did promise you that I would get back to phones. So we'll do that here in the next little bit. 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off with Brandon, who's in Boston. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, guys. So I've been hearing a lot of networks and a lot of radio stations blowing this USA thing out of proportion. Let's talk about exhibition. It's a warm-up game. It's a preseason. So when it comes to regular season, it matters. These games don't matter. It's warm-ups for them. All right? They're feeling each other out. They're getting their legs behind them, beneath them. So when it comes to regular season, they got to blow these teams off the water. I'm not worried about this team. So, we're talking about all-star teams. Like, why are we going so nutty about them losing exhibition games? Remember, preseason games don't matter. Remember, regular seasons matter, right? That's what counts.
Okay, go ahead. I was going to say, Jones, why should we be worried? Because you jumped in.
They only have ever lost two of these before. They equaled the total that they've lost since 1992.
That's what it is. That's the stat. Because I'm generally with Brandon in that, like, this ultimately won't matter, and they'll probably still win gold once they get there and the games matter. But since professionals started playing for Team USA in 1992, from July 21st, 1992 to July 9th, 2021, like Jones just said, that's 10,581 days, two exhibition losses.
They were 54-2. Now they're 54-4.
In 3 days, they have two exhibition losses in Las Vegas.
Right.
So, I'm sorry, you can't look at these and say, like, bah, it's nothing. It's probably just a sign of what's to come.
Yeah, right. So if you're asking
or
me,
could be,
if I had to wager, do I still think they're going to win gold? Probably. In the meantime, they're playing like crap. Everyone knows they're playing like crap. And I'm sorry, Chris Middleton and Devin Booker and who am I missing? Drew Holiday. Those guys aren't going to bail out Team USA. They're not. So what's the problem? There is an issue. Can they sort it out? Like, that should be the discussion around Team USA, not just exhibition games. Who cares?
Look,
like,
how they're reacting to the officiating. Again, if you watched last night.
I didn't. So it's that bad, Jim?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so if you've, you know, in just a little bit that I've watched of these type of games before, like on the Olympic stage, like they call these games differently. You're not going to get superstar calls. These guys are going to be bitching about them. Like it's the game's more predicated to team basketball, which they can't play right now, at least the way that it looks. Like these guys just don't mesh right now, or they're just half-assing it. So yeah, they'll probably kick it into gear because of their talent. They still should be able to blow these teams out. But I don't know how you don't look at this and not be at least a little bit concerned if you do care about Team USA actually winning the gold.
Oh, I thought you were going to jump in, Jones.
I agree with Jim on that. And, you know, again, this notion that you shouldn't be freaked out. Well, what the hell should you be? If you wanted to laugh away the first one, fine. I took the first one seriously. But if you wanted to laugh away the first one against Nigeria and say, you know, they got caught off guard their first game, summer of nonstop doing or whatever, fine. now that there's two of them, I don't know how you can possibly ignore it and not be freaking out about it on some level.
I'm rooting against him. I'm rooting against the arrogance. I want this to matter. I think there's every chance that they turn it around and blow people off the floor because there's that much talent and there's a disparity in talent that's great. I mean, the disparity is huge.
By the way, the team they lost to, Australia, and Jim, you watched. Ben Simmons, not even on the team.
Right. Correct.
They lost to Australia without Ben. They didn't even have Ben Simmons.
Of course, Ben Simmons might have helped.
Yeah, maybe that did help, I guess, at the end of the day. But, like, he's the biggest name on that team. He didn't even play. Stupid Dellavedova was killing him in that game.
Mike and Akara and Jason Tatum. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I think I've seen enough of Jason Tatum. To me, he seems like a guy who's content to get his 28, 29 a night. He seems so content to get that 50-point game in the playoffs. That was about it. I think he's going to be about the best player on a mediocre team.
Okay, so if you want to get Mike, if you want to get rid of him, what's the plan to get better?
I think you should build around Jaylen Brown. I think you could sell pretty high on Jason Tatum right now. Get a guy who fits better with Jaylen Brown, a Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay, I got you, Murray. How do you feel about that?
No, he's too talented. From a talent standpoint, he's their foundational player. And I have some concerns. We talked about it just talking with Gary Washburn in that column in the Boston Globe, the conversation he had with Jason Tatum and how, you know, just butthurt he was about not being named All-NBA, which to me is a bit of a red flag in terms of his selfishness. Like, there's things about his game that drive me nuts. Again, the bitching to the refs. Ever since he got into the league, dude, you're not a superstar. Calm down. At least not yet. So at least then, like the first couple of years, you didn't deserve any kind of preferential treatment. There's things about me that bug me about him, his inconsistency. But he's got the most talent. He's their best player. Like, you can't give up on him yet.
Yeah. I mean, unless
given his age, you can't do it.
Unless you're getting, like, LeBron back. And even then, like, unless you're getting some crazy, crazy return, I'd never say never on anybody. You have to build around him. And you have to do exactly what they did with the coach hiring process. I don't need to listen to Jaylen Brown. I definitely don't need to listen to Marcus Smart. You need to listen to Tatum on who he wants to hire and the players he wants to target, because you now have one of those guys. And it's just, it's so true. And you know, marketing, we were talking about it earlier with Otani. It's so true. Watch some of these national advertising campaigns. Like, he's like one of four athletes in a Gatorade commercial. You know, he's got his, like, he is a big, big star all of a sudden.
That and what, sub's got bacon.
Right. I mean, and whether or not he deserves it, I guess we can debate. Like, if he deserves all the adulation and hype that he's getting when he hasn't won squat. We can debate that, but he's getting it. He is a big, big-time star and a big-time talent. Whether or not you can win a championship with him, we're going to find out, but they need to find out,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Look, so when the caller says trade him and build around Jaylen Brown, I got news for you. He might be gone in 2 years, too.
Right.
Don't kid yourself on that one.
And I know he improved so much this year offensively. I just think that that's the ceiling for Jaylen Brown. I still think there's higher with Tatum. But I do look at him at times with that Jones. Like, when people want to talk about him as one of the best players in the league.
The Tatum stuff?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't, there's still things about him that bug me.
Yeah, he might never get there.
Yeah.
He might be Carmelo. You know, a great individual talent and a guy who doesn't win. We'll find out. But, I mean, he is head and shoulders above Brown. And I know it sounds crazy to say, but the level in the ceiling is so much higher than Tatum. I like a lot of the things about Jaylen Brown. Like, the makeup with Brown, I like much more than Tatum. The competitiveness, you pushed back on this earlier, Jim. I forget if it was with Maz or a caller, but, like, I see it with Brown. I do see it with Jaylen Brown sometimes. You don't see it with Tatum. There are things I prefer about Jaylen, but as a player, Tatum is so much more well-rounded and so much more higher-ceilinged.
Gasper always says if you could take Brown's compete and that thing, the intangible with Brown, and put it into Tatum, you'd have the perfect player.
Correct.
I agree.
Ian in New Bedford on Team USA Basketball. Go ahead, Ian.
What's up, guys? Appreciate you taking my call. Just before I get to Team USA, I noticed that Gary Washburn has said that Brad Stevens had stepped down. They didn't say he got a promotion, and I know he's a pretty credible source. So, I don't know. I just found that an interesting comment in that interview. But I wanted to get to is Team USA sucks because Tatum's one of the best players on the team, and he does not embrace being a leader. In that interview with Gary Washburn, he said, "That's the position I'm in now. I've got to embrace it." I mean, it doesn't sound like he really wants to be one of the best players on a team that's full of stars. I mean, how do we expect him to recruit a player from that team when he won't even go to bat for himself?
Okay, but he's not the best player on Team USA.
It's not. Durant.
Yeah, Kevin Durant's the best player on Team USA. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that does sort of interest me about the relationship with Tatum and Beal, and I'm not saying interest me in a positive way, I'm saying I wonder how it would work. Beal's older.
Bradley Beal's older. So is Bradley Beal going to be the guy that, you know, is really, that would Tatum defer to him? Like, how is that going to work? The one thing that encouraged me about, you know, that pairing, or encourages me about that pairing, if it were to happen here, it feels to me like Beal knows Tatum's a better talent. Like, right. In listening to Beal talk, he sort of, it suggests to me that no, the sky's the limit for this kid. You know, as if to say he's better than I am. But if you put the two of us together and let me help him out, I think I can get him there. Like, I've never been a huge Beal guy. I'm not saying he sucks as a player or anything of the like. I just don't know if he's the guy that puts him over the top. But after listening to him, I wonder if he's not a good fit.
Well, and I just think he's really the only realistic option. I don't believe they can bring a big ticket free agent here in the 2022 offseason if they preserve their cap space and they don't do something dumb like extend Marcus Smart. Beal's like the one guy who I'm like, all right, they might be able to because of that relationship and that connection.
Murray, I don't remember. You like Beal? You like that idea?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what are you giving up for him? Are you giving up Brown?
No. You got to try to get him as part of, like, that's your big three here. Because otherwise, where are you if it's just Tatum and Beal? Like, it's still not enough.
You're in the same spot.
Yeah. Okay.
Matt in Louisville, Kentucky. Apparently, a lot of people down on Jason Tatum. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I watch your show every day. But the bottom line, Jones and Murray, they got it wrong. Tatum doesn't have that it factor that all the previous Celtic stars had. He doesn't have that killer instinct. There's fundamental flaws with his shot and his release. He brings it down to his waist every time he takes a shot. It's just bad all over. He's going to be the downfall of the organization because he's going to end up pulling a Kyrie, and we're going to be out like we always are.
Okay. So Matt, hold on one second. When you say the downfall of the organization, you mean because he leaves?
Absolutely. He'll probably request a trade like Kyrie did, and he's got too many other guys in his ears, and it's just he doesn't have it. He's
Then if he doesn't have it, then why are you worried about him leaving?
Well, I want to get something back in return.
Okay, and what are you going to get?
I don't know. We got to wait and see what Mr. Udoka can do to bring in other guys from other teams. And
yeah, don't hold your breath on the coach luring players. Don't hold your breath on that.
He shoots from his waist and doesn't have a good.
Yeah, I don't know. So that's the part I don't get. You're going to dump on his game and then say you want to get something for him.
Who is this guy?
No, here's the other thing. Here's how it works in
more
that
negative
league.
More negative than you. He's like,
seriously.
Kentucky Jones.
you almost never get equal value for a player like that. In fact, I'll even take away the almost. You never get equal value for a player like that. You will get a bunch of bit parts, draft picks, and whatever else that you hope turn into the next Jason Tatum. So the people that want to trade Tatum, look, I understand what you're saying. But you're starting over, literally starting over. You're going to have to go through five drafts and hope that you get another Tatum in the draft and then try to build it again from there.
Also, I'd say this. Who had the killer instinct? Paul Pierce, is that who he's talking about? He doesn't have a killer instinct like Paul Pierce? What was Paul Pierce's killer instinct before he got Kevin Garnett?
He didn't have it.
And Ray Allen. He was ready to ask out of town. So if his point is Jason Tatum might be the downfall because he might leave, well, fine. I mean, he might leave, and I'm worried about that too. All that other stuff was garbage.
I mean, it can change fast in that league. People forget this. And, I was just recently, oddly enough, looking up some stuff about the 2007-08 Celtics. And not long before that, fans at the Garden were chanting for Doc Rivers to be fired, mm-hmm. and Paul Pierce was sitting on the end of the bench laughing mm-hmm. while that was taking place.
Yeah.
And laughing.
And saying, if you don't get me help, I want out.
And then a year later, 2 years later, whenever it was, they had, everybody was all hunky-dory again, and they had a parade, and they won the championship. So in that league, it can change very, very quickly. Speaking of things changing quickly, the NFL... or rather, ESPN just put out, has been doing this series on the top players at every position, according to a panel of coaches, executives, scouts throughout the league. They did quarterbacks today. Quarterbacks in the NFL. We'll tell you who is number one, who is number two, and who is number three, et cetera, et cetera. We'll do all that when we come back on Felger and Mazz.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Tom Brady just does his thing. How about that? His 10th Super Bowl. Golly, is this his 6th ring? 7th ring?
7th.
7th ring.
That's hard to believe.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31, Chiefs 9. 1 second. There it is. 0-0-0. Bucs win! Bucs win the Super Bowl 55. Tom Brady engineers the offense. The Buccaneers score late in the first half, early in the second half. And there the cannons come. Fire them. Keep on firing them. How about the Buccaneers, huh?
Go, Murray, go.
My guy Gene Deckerhoff and his insatiable lust for cannons. Fire the cannons. I need cannons. Cannons. Where are your Buccaneers? They're on your bucking head. The Bucs win. Bucs win. Tom Brady's the man. The Bucs are the team. If you want more of that, hire me on Cameo for just $15. That's right. I'm a whore.
Oh, totally. Aren't we all? Please. I'm right there with you. I don't do the imitations like you do, though.
But that was a fun month, though. I still can't. There's still part of me that I can't believe that that happened.
I was just going to say that. It's still astonishing when you think about it. They let him go after they traded away Garoppolo.
But even after they had to, like, fight and scratch. I mean, the toughest game of that run was really the game against Washington.
Yeah, the first one.
The Saturday night game against the Washington football team. And who the hell was their quarterback that night again?
Heinicke.
Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah, Vanilla Vic that night. They get out of that game. Well, they'll lose to the Saints because they got their ass kicked by the Saints twice in the regular season. They win that game. Well, there's no chance they're going to go to Green Bay and actually beat Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. They win that game. Well, the Chiefs are a juggernaut. They're the new dynasty. I mean, it wasn't even a game. You idiots. Oh, my God. Oh, so good. Oh, and I hope they do it again this year, too.
He took them all down. He did. He took them all down one by one.
Well, yeah. Those guys and everybody here, yeah.
Breeze, yep. Rodgers, Mahomes. Mm-hmm. One by one, he took them all down.
Don't leave on Heinicke.
Yeah, well, that's right, yeah. It was just a warm-up act. Exhibition game, Jones, as it were. Of course, Team USA doesn't win those. Brady does. As maybe that's just something to, you know, chew on there for a second. So this brings us to a story in ESPN, or I should say an ongoing series in ESPN, and a story today that was written by Jeremy Fowler, where ESPN's going through and identifying the top players at every position in the league. They got to quarterbacks today. Okay, they get to quarterbacks. And just so everybody understands the process, what ESPN did was poll 50 league executives, coaches, scouts, and players. Group of 50 people, they all cast votes, and then there were some scouting assessment in there as well. But the important part for you as a fan is that, according to Fowler, the objective was to identify the best players right now for 2021. Okay? Not a five-year projection or an achievement award. Who is the best today? Those were the criteria. Who is the best today? And when they looked at quarterbacks, they came in with Patrick Mahomes at number one, which I think, again, a lot of people would fully accept. I mean, did either one of you question that?
No.
I don't either.
No.
I mean, I know he lost to Brady last year, but I think Patrick Mahomes right now is the best quarterback in the league, yes.
Okay. Number two was Aaron Rodgers. And Tom Brady, number three, having been seventh a year ago. Discuss.
Well, I would put Brady at two, and Aaron Rodgers specifically in that NFC Championship game is why he would drop. I mean, like, does he have more talent than Tom Brady? Yes. Does he have the same winning quotient and the intangible, the it factor, when all the money's on the table? No, and he proved that again on the biggest stage, and this time at home in the NFC Championship game. Ever since that run in 2010, where he gets injured, comes back, and he was ridiculous in that run where Green Bay wins that one title with him. Ever since then, he's crapped his pants in big moments. And like, so I don't know. How can you not hold that against him? And Brady had this renaissance year after a down year in 2019. And you can get into some of the commentary made by some of these unnamed executives talking about Brady and the arm strength there in 2019 and what have you. But after the season he had, he's number two. I don't even know how you could debate that.
So I do think it's debatable, but I feel the same way as Murray. I would have had him two over Rodgers. And I don't mean to be inconsistent and say, well, I don't really care what happened in the Super Bowl last year. I know Brady beat Mahomes, but then point to Brady beating Rodgers. It's been a decade plus since Rodgers has won anything. I mean, Mahomes was going for a repeat. So that's kind of how I would quantify the difference between those two. I know Rodgers was the MVP last year. I don't care. Brady beat him. If you asked me this in December, I might not have had Brady in the top 10. But based on the playoff run that he had, he shut me up. He proved me wrong, among other people, Bill. And he went out and won again. Like, I would also have him at two and probably closer to one than three.
I mean, this is one of those that I you know, because, again, to me, the slight in this thing is that Brady is not number two. I don't know how. A year ago, they had him at seven. So,
which, given 2019, fine.
Yeah, sure.
I wasn't incensed by that.
I probably argued it was too high.
I mean, and it was wrong, as it turned out. It was wrong because clearly Brady was better than that. And 2019 was more of a reflection on the Patriots than it was on Brady. I think we can all agree on that now. But looking at it now, I put it in these terms. If you're Tampa Bay going into 2021, who would you rather have a quarterback, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
Brady.
Brady.
It's really not even that close in my mind. Now, look, I'm not telling you Rodgers sucks. I'm just telling you that last year to me was sort of quintessential Brady, that he was good during the regular season. But, you know, there were some growing pains there, things you would expect. But in the playoffs, he elevated that team. And to me, I think if there's any argument, maybe, and I'm not saying I do, I would still put Mahomes number one. Because I think if you put Mahomes on the Bucks, they would be otherworldly.
Yes. I think there's now this tightness factor to Rodgers in these big moments. I don't know if, you know, he's very competitive. There's no doubt about that. Even if you watch the match, you saw that. But I don't think he's on that hyper level of competitive that Tom Brady's at. Like, that's such an elite few. It's like him, Jordan, Kobe, these killers. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is that guy. I just don't.
Pac-Man?
Well, I think you were just going to say, and I was about to agree with it, you'd argue the slight is that Brady isn't, you can make an argument that Brady's closer to one than three. Like, you would, like, the real argument should be,
argument
should be Brady or Mahomes,
right?
Not Brady or Rodgers. See, I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
and I would lean Mahomes as well, but it's close. Like, that's more of a coin toss to me than Brady and Rodgers. I think Brady and Rodgers is pretty clear. Never mind everybody else beneath him.
At 43.
It is. It's stunning,
you
Murray.
Freak.
It is. It's stunning. And when I saw it, I went, Brady's too low. He's too low. Because if you get to this stage and you're looking at, again, the teams across the league, and the way I reconciled it and rationalized it was, if I were Tampa Bay, who would I want at quarterback other than Brady? And the only guy that I would pick is probably Mahomes. That's it. I wouldn't take Rodgers after seeing what we saw. Russell Wilson also comes close in my mind, but it's hard to feel.
He had a suck year last year.
It's right. It's hard to feel good about him at the moment.
Yeah.
It's hard to feel good about him at the moment, but I do think that at his core, Russell Wilson is a winner who performs well at the biggest moments. Generally speaking, I think he can sort of elevate a team and carry a team. Maybe not like Brady does, not in the biggest spots, but he's still pretty damn good.
That second half got real weird. He was trending towards MVP that first 5-6 weeks of the season, and then he was like throwing pick after pick, week after week. It was odd.
If it wasn't a career high, it was close. I think it was 13 picks last year.
I mean, it was. So I mean, here he is at, again, as Murray says, at age 43, second best in the league.
Yeah, so Wilson was four, Allen was five, and this is a minor gripe, but how the hell was Matt? How do people in the league like Matt Stafford so much at six? I don't get that. I don't get that at all. And it's clear people in the league love him. McVay loves him. It's a big year for him and McVay because they put a lot into him, and people seem to think really highly of him. But it's a long way of saying all those other quarterbacks are another tier below, you know, the two and three guys we were arguing about at the top.
I mean, maybe a Lions fan. I didn't hear Hardy if they discussed this in the midday show today, but a Lions fan could maybe argue, like, well, you don't see the intricacies of his game. You're not watching Lions week in, week out. But I don't know, just on the occasional time.
I watch him week in and week out. Yeah. He throws a back-breaking pick every week.
Right, the occasional time that they're on prime time, or even if you're just watching Red Zone, like, there's always one bad play, it feels like, every game from Matt Stafford. Sixth in the league? That's insanity.
I'll tell you the other thing that I felt reading this, reading this list. And again, you had it in front of you. You said Stafford was six, Jones, and yep. Then who comes in after him? Like
Dak
Prescott.
Okay, who missed most of last year? I know Lamar Jackson's in the top 10.
Yeah, he was playing awesome before he got hurt.
I think Lamar. Hang on, I'm scrolling through it. Lamar was 8.
Yep. Justin Herbert was 9.
Yep.
Kyler Murray at 10.
Murray is 10. Correct.
Okay, so when I saw Kyler Murray at 10, too, that's another one where I stopped and said, you know, for the first time in a long time, I suddenly feel like the gap between the top 3 or 4 in the league and everybody else is starting to get bigger. Like, that's what it felt to me. And I don't know. Now, maybe I'm not as high on Josh Allen as a lot of people are. I think Allen's a good player. But those top 3 or 4, those guys are the elite of the elite. There is a little bit of a gap there. And so I wouldn't mind seeing that shrink a little just for the health of the league. I think it might be better if, you know, there were 7 or 8 really elite quarterbacks in the NFL, and maybe there will be now. But Brady should be number 2.
Yeah, I agree.
He should be number 2 on that list.
Other quarterbacks getting votes, by the way, Matt Ryan, Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger, Ryan Tannehill, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield.
And they didn't put Deshaun Watson on this list
because of the
ongoing situation.
Oh, yeah, so Deshaun Watson...
It's top 5 for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, should be right in front of Josh Allen and behind Russell Wilson, probably.
Yeah. I definitely put him ahead of Josh Allen.
No, good call. I forgot he's not even on there. I was just going to say, I didn't see Cam Newton anywhere on there. That's weird.
Oh.
Did they do bottom 10, Josh?
I don't know. Maybe that's next month.
Yeah, don't hold your breath on Cam Newton. Holy crap. I'd be willing to bet that Mac Jones had more votes than Cam Newton did.
Probably.
Jones has your headlines here when we come back. Again, I've been out for a couple of days. And well, since the end of last week. So I didn't get an opportunity to touch base on the Red Sox. We'll do that when we come back because there were a number of things that happened with the team here in recent days that I think are worth touching on. So a Red Sox Minute coming up next on Felger and Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bounding ball into the shift, scooped up nicely done by the first baseman on to Suarez, and that is it. The Phillies hang on. They beat the Red Sox today 5-4, the final score. So the Red Sox will carry a game and a half lead into the All-Star break over the Tampa Bay Rays, who lost earlier today to the Toronto Blue Jays. Your final today, Philadelphia 5 and the Red Sox 4.
Back here on Felger and Mazz. So I was out yesterday. There was a lot to catch up on, at least as it pertained to the Red Sox, because there were a few newsworthy items over the weekend. Not the least of which, Murray, was their play on the field. Hey, they lost 2 out of 3 to Philadelphia, which honestly kind of pissed me off. And I'm not, you know, well, yeah, Maz, it's full outrage. No, it's not. On Sunday, I was listening to the game. They fell behind 5-1, I think it was, when Pivetta was on the mound. To which point I said, you know what? Pivetta's another guy, by the way, who in a big spot would scare me a little because, boy, he's as tight as a drum, that guy. He's waiting to snap.
Well, and you'd figure that'd be a game he might get up for.
Go ahead.
No, well, I didn't mean to jump all over your point, but right, it's his ex-team. Like, if that's a game where you're going to get up for it and stick it to him, that'd be the game. And instead, he went the other way.
So I know Cora said afterward, you know, I wasn't crazy about the last week, but overall, we had a good first half, what have you. Here's the part that people are missing, the fact that they lost 2 series in a row. They were 4.5 up in the division at the beginning of the week. They ended at 1.5 up.
Yeah, I kind of look at it as sweet poetic justice in a way. I mean, you have your social media intern or whoever running your Twitter account. And you run your mouth via the Twitter bio saying, we have the receipts from the first week of the season. We remember the tweets. And then you lose 4 or 5, you know, to mediocre teams. You go from 4 to 5 games up in the American League East, which felt like it was starting to be yours, to a game and a half, like you just heard there with the final call. So all of a sudden, what has felt like over the past few weeks, up until the last week, the American League East belongs to the Red Sox, now is in question again.
Yep, that's a big change. 3 games in the standings. That's a big change. So now, look, you come out of the gate here. You got a lot of baseball left. I understand it. It happens over the course of a season. But I feel like they kind of went to sleep a little bit. And this is a team that's greatest asset is the fact that they play every inning of every game. On Saturday, they completely collapsed at the end of that game. Not that they were going to win it anyway, but it was just so unlike them. And that's what bugs me about it, is that it was out of character. It tells me they weren't focused last week.
And this month coming out of the All-Star break, I think, is going to go a long way in determining what the American League East in the race is going to look at like come September. So from the 15th to the 19th of next month, the Red Sox play 32 games, 29 are against the American League East, 10 against the Yankees, 10 against the Jays, and 6 against the Rays. And Tampa has a pretty easy month looking at their schedule, and so they could still take this thing where it felt like that they were reeling there for the last few weeks.
It's a huge stretch. Huge, Murray. Second item on my list, just quickly, Matt Barnes signed a new contract, 2-year extension, with an option for a third year at $18.75 million. Now, I know this isn't the kind of blockbuster deal that strikes the fancy of many people. I saw this and I said, if I were Matt Barnes, I'd fire my agent. What are you doing? You're going to be a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's a very team-friendly deal, yeah.
You're having the best year of your career. You took 2 years and $18 million when you might have gotten four and 40? What the hell are you doing? What a mistake.
Unless he's just kind of happy here. And in that case, good for the team and good for the player.
Or unless he's not that confident and he's afraid that he's going to regress again and might as well take the money while it's right there for you. I guess I was stunned when I saw this.
He better have a wink and a nod agreement from the Red Sox. He's going to stay the closer. Like, now that he's signed and now that he's locked in, like, you know, you can go out and sign somebody above his head and put him back in a setup role if you want, or an ace relief role, or whatever you call it now. Like, if I'm him, I'd like to keep closing, although I guess for the next couple of years it's not that important because he's not going to hit the open market.
I mean, I was stunned when I saw the Barnes sign. I did not see that one coming. I thought, wow, he took that? I thought 4-year deal is maybe, if it were 4 years, I would say, well, that's a good move by Barnes. 2 years and the club gets an option, they get to pick. So if you suck in the second year, see you later, you're on the street and you get who knows what, nothing or next to nothing, mistake. Third and finally, the draft. I'll get to the first round pick in a minute. And that's Marcelo Mayer, the shortstop. It bothered me that the Red Sox, I think, didn't take a pitcher until, and I had it up here a second ago, and now I don't, because again, I'm a complete jackass and I probably closed it out. So the Red Sox did not take a pitcher until the fourth round. They took one pitcher in the first six rounds. That I don't like. I just think that they have they have not been able to draft and develop pitching, really. So I was hopeful that they were going to take a pitcher high. I wanted, Jack Leiter. He ended up going before they even had a crack at him. So that was out the window. Philosophically, I understand it. The Cubs sort of did it this way. I think the Astros, to a degree, did it this way, that you draft and develop position players. They're a safer bet. Pitchers are unpredictable. And then when you need pitching, you go out and buy it or trade for it if you make those picks right. Fine. But someone sent me an interesting email today that that raised a question I would like to ask each of you. So we'll start with you, Murray.
Okay.
Marcelo Mayer, the shortstop, taken at number 4. And again, that's the highest pick the Red Sox have ever had in the draft. Okay, they have never had a higher selection in the draft than this kid. Let's say this kid is good. Okay, let's say he turns into a legit all-star caliber shortstop. And I'm not going to tell you he's Derek Jeter, but at his size...
The comp is Corey Seager.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say he's Corey Seager. I was going to say Bogarts. Okay?
You already have one of him.
Okay, but he's going to be gone by the time this kid comes along.
That's what McCarthy tried telling me yesterday.
It's going to be like 4 years, 4 or 5 years down the road for this kid. Maybe not quite that long, maybe 3 or 4, but whatever. You get the idea.
Sure.
Okay, Marcelo Mayer, if he pans out, was last year worth it?
Yeah, ultimately, yes. If he is ultimately a franchise type of player, yeah.
Jones?
No, I don't think so. You can get superstars a million different ways. You're the Boston Red Sox. No, my answer is no.
I say no. And here's why I say no, Murray. That year did a lot of damage. Did a lot of damage to the organization. And the Red Sox do have the opportunity to go out and get players in a lot of different ways. They were so bad last year. I think they lost a lot of fans and a lot of people, and I'm not sure that a lot of them have come back. I think a few have. Some have. It's been a more likable team this year.
Yeah, but if you're talking by the time this Marcelo Mayer comes up, and it's 3-4 years from now, we are all forgetting about 2020. And you'll find the occasional mask in your coat and be like, "Pow, remember that terrible time?" And you go into the game and you watch Marcelo Mayer.
So that is fair. And I will say that, tell me what kind of player he is, and then I'll let you know whether it was worth it. If he turns into a Hall of Fame caliber player.
Well, if he's Bogarts, if he's Bogarts 2.0, then that's a win.
Okay, it is a win. But I see. I think Bogarts is a all-star, good, very good player. I don't think he's Fernando Tatis.
Right? Is he a? Is he right? Like a game changer? A foundational? I mean, maybe foundational piece isn't even the right word. But yes, I agree. He's another
Hall of Famer.
He's another tier below a guy like what Tatis could potentially be.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, that kid is completely changes a franchise completely. Mm-hmm. Bogarts is a really good piece in a franchise.
Right. So to me, if he's Corey Seager, that's a nice consolation prize to last year, but it wasn't worth it. You know, if he's Tatis, well, then I'll change my tune. But yeah, if he's in that Bogarts Seager range or tier, I think it's a consolation prize, but not worth it.
This was something that Jones was, I think, rightfully yelling about yesterday. What I do want out of this draft is that Kumar Rocker better suck. Because at least to, like, you know, the casual person paying attention and not, like, the super nerds paying attention to the draft, like, the two names you knew were the two pitchers from Vanderbilt, Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker. Well, the Red Sox passed on him, where it felt like, you know, talking about this thing a month ago, well, if they don't get Leiter, then you take Kumar Rocker.
Correct.
Bang, bang, boom, there you go. Well, they passed on him, so he better suck.
Yeah, I see. I didn't like Rocker. You know, to me, he's sort of the profile of that classic guy who can throw but might not be able to pitch, and that scared me. But you couldn't be more right, Murray. I mean, if it turns out that he's a stud. And
well, this was the Jones take more than anything else. Like, he got yelled at by McCarthy saying, like, no, the consensus number one pick kind of fell to them.
I just got annoyed at the consensus number one pick thing, Maz. Like, I had to hear that from enough Red Sox fans peacocking around like, oh, he's the consensus number one. What a steal. How'd they get him at four? Well, I don't know that he was. Do you think he was number one on the Red Sox board? I don't. I know he wasn't number one on the Rangers board. Maybe Pittsburgh had him number one, but they wanted to get a deal and they went under slot for the catcher from Louisville, Henry Davis. Like, maybe. But, like, I don't know how consensus. Everybody's like, oh, he's the consensus number one. Eh, I don't know. And I would have rather have had the pitcher. I would have rather have had Kumar Rocker at four. I would have. Not that I've ever watched more than a couple of highlights from Kumar Rocker. And I've never watched Marcelo Mayer, and I don't pretend to know who he is or know much about him. They need pitching. And I know I'm oversimplifying it, but the pitcher was there to be had. Everybody was geeked up about these two Vanderbilt pitchers, the whole College World Series, anybody who followed it. And then you don't take him. And he goes to a big market like New York. Like, if he's good, you're going to be reminded about that a lot.
And you should be annoyed by the consensus number one thing. Because you know what? In this draft, there was no consensus number one. There was no clear consensus number one. A year ago at this time, it was Rocker and Leiter 1-2. In that order, by the way.
I was going to say, and Rocker was like the generally accepted number one guy going into this year.
Yeah. Yes, it was Rocker, Leiter coming in, and then it flip-flopped, and Leiter ended up in front of Rocker, and Rocker slipped a little bit. Even Leiter slipped because he had a bad tournament, a bad College World Series, so that he came back down to earth a little bit. Then the catcher was getting a lot of hype, so the kid from Louisville. So the people thought he was going to be the number one pick. The point is that there's a little uncertainty there about every one of these guys. So look, again, the safe way to go, if you're an organization at Major League Baseball, you're the modern analytics guys and, you know, you're building from within. I'll tell you, Theo would have taken the shortstop. Theo would have taken this kid. Okay. And this kid can probably play. So the point is you'll get something one way or the other. He'll either play for you or you'll trade him for something else if you draft another shortstop, or he'll play another position because as a shortstop, there's some athleticism there. And so you can move him around the diamond. There's a lot of reasons to take a kid like that, on top of the fact that he bats left-handed. Not a small thing either, because you're still going to see right-handed pitching most of the time. All of that has value. So they got a good player. That's good. I still wanted a pitcher. And if anyone says consensus number one, Jones, they're full of crap. They're full of it.
Well, you got to yell at McCarthy later in the week, then.
I will happily yell at him on Friday. Oh, no, wait, I'm not here Friday.
Maybe you can call in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll email him.
Yeah.
That's right. I heard him on the air the other night, and I sent him a text because he was making a comment on my math skills, and I just wanted to tell him that I looked something up, but I used a calculator just to bust his balls. Anyway, 617-779-0985. Back to your calls next.
For sports, Felger Mass, 985 The Sports Hub.
Hey! BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Please, Maz. What the?
Felger and Maz.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
Leiter's gone. Davis is gone. And here comes the commissioner with the Red Sox.
With the fourth pick of the 2021 MLB draft, the Boston Red Sox select Marcelo Meyer, a shortstop from Eastlake High School in Chula Vista, California.
Doesn't have quite the same cachet as like Jimmy Garoppolo, does it? MLB, because nobody knows who the hell these kids are. Nobody knows who this Marcelo Meyer kid is. But it's an important pick in Red Sox history. Again, nobody's ever been picked higher in the draft than that kid, which tells you plenty about. And again, the question I had for these guys, for Jones and Murray here, just before we went to break, was if he turns into an all-star caliber player, and Jones said the comp was Corey Seager of...
Murray can back me up. Like, every single baseball nerd from Baseball America on down compared him to Corey Seager offensively and then Brandon Crawford with the glove. Like, the idea being that, you know...
He's both.
He can be potentially elite with both, yes.
Yeah, and Seager's a good player. I mean, you know, Seager with the Dodgers is a good player.
Right, he's good.
So if you get an all-star caliber player, is it worth it to have the year the Red Sox had last year? My answer would be no. I think that last year did a lot of damage. But again, we'll do a little bit more of that on the Baseball Hour later on. Jones will be sticking around for that, much to his chagrin. 617.
I'm excited.
We started.
I offered him the opt-out last night, and he's like, no.
I said, Murray, you enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we spent time earlier on the Home Run Derby as well. Murray will take the get-out-of-jail-free card, Jones. Don't kid yourself. He'll run out of here before you can change your mind. No kidding there. But we did, we mentioned the Home Run Derby earlier on. We talked about Jason Tatum, Team USA, and the Celtics. Gary Washburn of the Globe joined us, so we'll catch up all that here in the last hour. And in the interim, we'll take some of your phone calls. Mike is in, not Mike. I don't want to go to Mike. That was wrong. That was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that.
Which Mike was it?
A different Mike. Not the Mike you think it was. Let's go to, Babs in Beverly. Barbara in Beverly, how you doing?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. All right. Listen, you know the quarterback list you have?
Yes.
You know what irks me more than anything is the quarterbacks are getting shorter. And it's like they couldn't have played 10 years ago. They would have gotten murdered with the ball. Why does no one tackle that little tiny Kyler Murray? And also, Russell Wilson has to run about 6 miles every game. And Patrick Mahomes this year said he wants to go 20-0. I mean, who are these people, and don't they have any humbleness? I want your guys' opinion on the short quarterbacks.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, Barbara, thank you for the call. Have you guys noticed any trend there with quarterbacks hitting littler?
They're smaller, for sure. I like it.
Yeah, you had wee little quarterbacks back in the day, too. I mean, Doug Flutie succeeded in this league with the Buffalo Bills going back 20 years or whatever it is now.
I do think she's onto something, though. Like, generally, I think teams are more willing to gamble with, you know, a smaller quarterback if there's a trade out for athleticism. Even Baker Mayfield's short.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's good for the NFL. Like, I don't know. What do I want? Like, some big stiff like Bledsoe back there humming it? Or a guy who can move and is more of like a dual threat, even if they skew a little smaller. Like, I like a lot of the smaller quarterbacks.
What if there's
personally?
I love Kyler Murray.
Same.
And I
love Wilson.
He's a stud. But Kyler Murray, I still think he's incomplete. We don't know. He kind of faded towards the end of the season, or at least in the second half. He sucked here, I thought, in that game that they should have beat the Patriots. But, you know, there's still something to be seen with Kyler Murray. But I thought he was going to be like an MVP candidate going into last year, and then it was just kind of a mess season.
What if a quarterback is short and he's not athletic? For example, like, isn't Mac Jones 6'2"?
Well, right. So, then you better be pretty accurate, you know, and protect the ball. That's all we're looking for. Like, my hope is, and we talked about
your guy Garoppolo's only 6'2", by the way.
I know he is. Yeah, but okay. He's athletic.
Well, I mean, not anymore. Since he tried to run out of bounds in Kansas City and got his leg ripped off like a dummy. No, in Mac Jones' case, my hope is, and we talked about it when Mike was here, can he be what Chad Pennington was when he was healthy, like 2002 Chad Pennington? Given the talent that they have around him, if that's what he can be, that's good enough. You can win with that.
Yeah, I haven't noticed. Now that I think of it, though, maybe the quarterbacks are getting a little shorter, even the ones that aren't super athletic.
I think they are. I think that, and again, right, I'm not sure Mayfield is like the most athletic in the world. I think he has some athleticism.
Yeah, and for every wee little guy, though, you do have Justin Herbert, who's giant.
Or Allen.
Yeah.
She said Mahomes. I'm just looking it up. Mahomes isn't small, is he? Mahomes?
I think he's 6'3", isn't he?
Yeah, that's not small. He's 6'3".
Yeah, he's 6'3".
Yeah, 6'2"-ish and under.
Yeah.
So here we are, top of the hour, no commercials, longest commercial-free segment here on Felger and Mass. Jones will get you caught up on headlines, and then we come back. We'll jump back to the Home Run Derby. We're going to replay some of the Gary Washburn, I don't want to say the interview, but some of what he said. We'll do that a little bit later in the hour as well here on Felger and Mass. Again, no commercials, don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.